Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back. Hope you guys are well. As you can see, I'm not in my home office. I'm here at the church building right now, and I'm going to be talking from Matthew 23 today on talking well about people. How do we actually and practically do that? I'm going to talk a little bit about Mark Dever and Jonathan Lehman and their tribute to John MacArthur and some things that I see that are a little bit contradictory there, but I also want to speak well of them as, what happened here? Oh, I got booted off. Okay, I'm back on. Let's see if I am recording. I think I am. The video might not actually work today. I don't know if I am. Okay, I think I am still recording. Yes. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and I'll read from Matthew chapter 23, and then I'll explain what I'm talking about today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon it. Lord, I thank you for good and faithful brothers across this country that have been working hard to honor you and encourage people. And Lord, it is an environment, especially in niche reform culture and world, to backbite and talk about each other and focus in on disagreements rather than agreements. God, help us to not be limp-wristed or somehow weak-kneed about anything. Help us to be men of principle, but also, God, help us to speak well about the living and not just be men who speak well about the dead. And we trust you're going to help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got to think about this a while back because of all the tributes that came in about John MacArthur. John MacArthur died, and at the end of his life, there are a lot of friendships that were severed. The Dallas Statement was a hot topic issue for a lot of pastors that would and would not sign the statement on social justice and the gospel. And there were a lot of people that stood against John MacArthur, or at least wouldn't vocally support John MacArthur, when he was standing against the state of California during 2020. And even afterwards, when lawsuits were won, those that should have commended John and Grace Community Church, those that should have said, you know what, he was right, they didn't come out and say he was right. And it was frustrating to me then when he passed away and you started to see these tributes roll out all over the place about John MacArthur and his life. And many of them came from men that did not stand by him to the end in friendship. In fact, it seemed very clear that their relationships and friendships were severed. And then to hear people like Mark Dever and Jonathan Lehman get on and do a tribute to John MacArthur and his life and ministry, when in the end they would not speak publicly well of him in that way, it was, I think, frustrating. And I'm going to model this by even speaking Lehman and Dever, even though they've done a lot of things that I think are really extremely frustrating. I want to just ask you a question, and I want you to think about how you would respond. And think about the fights that have happened in the reform world over Christian nationalism, over some gender and sexuality issues, and how to understand theology in the public square. I think the divisions between Moscow and Webin and Ogden and Moscow, and any other splintering arguments and things that go back and forth about differences of small theological matters or to even a little bit larger theological matters. And how different groups of people who follow different groups of people how they speak back and forth about one another online, and just the rhetoric. And it got me thinking, what if some of the heroes of mine that I have disagreements with right now, what if they died? What would I say about them? Would I speak well of them? Would I thank God for them? Would it be easy for me to do a podcast and say, God, thank you for so-and-so? If Mark Dever died right now, what would I be thankful for about his life? Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that I'd be frustrated, I have been frustrated with him about. I'm even, you know, starting this episode talking about how the whole idea of this came from seeing his tribute. But I'm thankful for Nine Marks. I'm thankful for how God using him and even Lehman have helped shape my ecclesiology to be a little bit more faithful to the Bible. How one assembly helped me think through the Lord's Day gathering, how Nine Marks of a Healthy Church or their work on the small books on biblical ecclesiology have helped me over the years. I'm extremely thankful for those things. Now, I think there's a marked difference between, you know, for instance, those guys and Tim Keller. I'm not going to sing Tim Keller's praises. I'm not going to do a tribute to him after he died or anything like that. But Doug Wilson, James White. Okay, I've been annoyed with Doug Wilson over the last year in small ways. But what do I say about him as a man living right now? Well, I want to speak honoring of the man. I love that man. What about James White? A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that he would not debate Stephen Wolfe. I think that's silly. But you know what? I'm incredibly thankful about the life of Dr. James White and the ministry that has been done for Christians and non-Christians. It's been amazing to see his evangelistic zeal, his desire for doctrinal truth. What about Joel Webbin? I was going to interview him a couple years ago, and I backed out of that interview for some reasons, but I'm thankful for that guy. You know what God's doing through them? Ogden, I love those guys. Absolutely love those guys. What would you say about them if they were to die today? Let me just ask you this. What would Ogden say about Doug Wilson if Doug Wilson passed away? They would speak so honoring of him, lovingly, tenderly about that man, about what God has done through him. And what would Moscow say if somebody from Ogden passed away? Well, I think they would speak glowingly. I think they would speak honorably. This is from Matthew 23. And I want you to consider the Pharisaical way. Okay, the Pharisaical way is to honor people after they die. This is what we see right here in verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Here's what Jesus says to them. Thus, you witness against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. It's easy to celebrate dead guys. But where were all the tributes? Where were all the people that spoke so well of John MacArthur after he died, when he was in the midst of the battles that he faced right before he died? And honestly, it's frustrating. It's frustrating that more people didn't stand by him to the end. Loyal friends stand by people to the end, not in sin, but have the humility to say, you know what, John, he exerted a lot of energy and he is fighting battles right now. Maybe I don't see as clearly as Dr. MacArthur does right now. I'm going to stand with him. And I'm going to say, you know what? I love John MacArthur. And maybe you didn't agree with his stand in 2020. But when he was exonerated through the court system, when it was so clear after being able to step back from the shamdemic for a couple years later to be able to look back and say, you know what? He was dead right about this. And his position on the civil magistrate changed over the years. He had a more biblical view of proper spheres of government, of biblical authority, God-given authority to the home, state, and church. He thought in better categories in this particular issue as he got older, and he faced some of these battles alone. Now, he had other elders there, but some of his pastor friends, when he was fighting to make the statement on social justice in the gospel, they, instead of uniting with him on such a clear and easy document to unite with, what did they do? Well, they either, maybe didn't turn his back, but he certainly believed that a lot of his friendships that he made over the years, and he publicly said so, that those friendships were severed at the end of his life. And then to see so many tributes, it's like, I don't want to be the kind of guy, I really don't, with men that we are so similar with. If there are these conflicts in just early on in the life of the church where there's frustrations about the kind of people that are preaching the gospel. And we can hear words, if they're not against us, they're for us. And, you know, if we can say, you know, as long as Christ is preached, we can stand with Paul. Hey, Christ is being preached. And instead of being the kind of people that are looking for dissension and battle and fighting over the smallest detail of Christian theology. For instance, we're all patriarchal, and yet I'm going to fight on this particular issue of patriarchy. We all believe in your sovereignty, God's authority over it all, but we're going to fight over natural law and theonomy, and we're going to get really ugly about natural law and theonomy. How about instead being the kind of men that can say, I love James White, and I love Stephen Wolfe, and I don't have to agree with him on everything, but I'm for those guys. I don't even know them. I mean, I've interviewed them, but I'm not even friends with them. How about we be the kind of men that can say, I love Moscow, and simultaneously, I love Ogden, and I love Joel, and what's going on in Texas. And if something happens where they, you know, some sin is revealed, or something happens where there's disqualifying from ministry, be grieved about that. But not be the kind of men, and I see it, listen, I'm a little older now. Not old, but depends on who you ask. But I don't want to be the kind of guy that's pharisaical, that speaks praises about people only after they die. I want to be the kind of man, it's like I love these different groups. I love what God is doing all across the country and all across the world. I'm going to Michael Foster's conference this weekend, and I'm thankful for that man. And I'm not willing to pick sides in all the battles. I'm just not going to do it. You know, I think it's silly, the banter from Moscow and Ogden about white boy summer stuff. I think it's silly to call it white boy dumber. But also, I think it's silly to, you know, lend some sort of credibility to Nazi imagery or whatever. But in the grand scheme of things, for both of those guys, and I've done some content on this in the past, but the Pharisaical way, the actual Pharisaical way, is to build the tombs of the prophets and say, we would have liked those guys. And it's easier to praise a dead man than stand with a living man. And I want to be the kind of guy that gives the benefit of the doubt and stands with the living man. You know what? There's a lot of preachers, even outside of our niche. And this isn't some sign of some slide into liberalism or something like that. But dispensational brothers are brothers. And they're not always pessimistic. There's good, faithful, fire, you know, breathing Arminian preachers out there that love the Lord and God's using. I loathe Arminian theology, but I don't loathe Arminians. I love them. We've got members in our church that are Arminians. I love them. And I think if we can learn these lessons about tributes to John MacArthur after his death, we can be the kind of men that don't have to dog somebody, cancel somebody, and then only say something good about them after they die. What are you thankful for? It's good to speak to it. It's good to speak to that, about what we're thankful for, about what God has done in the lives of good and faithful men. Brothers, you're not going to get everything right. And there are people out there that are going to be your critics. And you got to stand firm. And I think it's good to have brothers that stand with you and that are for you, even if you get some things wrong. And newsflash, you're going to. Okay, hope this is helpful. Keep coming back. Please like, subscribe, share. Go get some Arrow Acres natural products. That's pretty cool. Good stuff. Thankful for the girls in our church that are doing that. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.